Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and alongside me is Mike. Today is May 9th, 2026, and this is episode number 390. We are covering all the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, May 8th.
Hey everyone, we have a really fascinating mix of topics today. We are looking at a massive geopolitical and economic milestone for Poland, a pair of stories about Google quietly pushing a controversial web standard that has privacy advocates ringing the alarm bells, a beautifully creepy website that shows exactly how your browser is tracking you, and finally, we are celebrating the 100th birthday of an absolute legend, Sir David Attenborough.
Let us dive right into that first story. An AP News piece made it to the top of the site yesterday, announcing that Poland is now among the 20 largest economies in the world. It is a huge milestone, and the Hacker News discussion really dug into the historical context of how they pulled this off.
Yeah, a user named Yakazor had a great comment pointing out that Poland was really the first country to make a remarkable peaceful transition from a bankrupt Soviet satellite state to a thriving capitalist economy. They had their first partly free elections in June 1989, which actually preceded the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia and the fall of the Berlin Wall. They used shock therapy economics, pushed hard for NATO and EU integration, and managed to maintain incredibly consistent growth for over three decades.
It really is a model for economic growth. But what I loved about the Hacker News thread was getting the on-the-ground perspective. A user named SizoricXYZ chimed in to share what this actually feels like for a Polish millennial. They described it as a roller coaster. On one hand, the transformation of the country is mind-blowing. But on the other hand, they feel like they are running on a never-ending hamster wheel of inflation and mortgages.
Right. They called it a multi-generational spread that is just wild to witness. You have older folks who vividly remember the 1980s scarcity culture, which bordered on third world hunger. And then you have Gen Z entering the workforce demanding the same standard of living they see on their iPhones from influencers in Los Angeles. It's like two completely separate realities superimposed on top of each other.
Exactly. And there was a debate in the comments about whether GDP per capita is even a useful metric anymore. Someone pointed out that Ireland has a massive GDP per capita, but that's mostly because of corporate tax haven accounting, which doesn't really help the average person there. But a user named Rayner pushed back, noting that unlike tax havens or oil states, Poland has a broad, diversified economy with a lot of industrial production. Their GDP per capita has tripled since 2005, and that reflects very real increases in material standards for ordinary people.
It is a phenomenal success story, even with the growing pains. But let us pivot from the open market to the closed walls of big tech. We had two related stories blow up yesterday about Google, and they both point to a pretty alarming trend for the open web. The first was titled Google Broke ReCAPTCHA for de-Googled Android users, and the second was Google Cloud Fraud Defense is just way repackaged.
This is a big one, Mike. To understand why Hacker News is so up in arms about this, we have to rewind to 2023. Back then, a Google engineer proposed a web standard called Web Environment Integrity, or WEI. The idea was that browsers would ask your device hardware to cryptographically prove that it was unmodified and running on certified hardware. It was pitched as an anti-bot measure.
But the backlash was immediate and fierce. The EFF called it DRM for the web. Mozilla said it worked against user interests. The fear was that Google could effectively gatekeep the internet, deciding which browsers and operating systems were allowed to access websites. The pushback was so bad that Google publicly withdrew the proposal.
Well, fast forward to yesterday, Google announced Google Cloud Fraud Defense, which they are calling the next evolution of ReCAPTCHA. And as the article from Private CAPTCHA points out, it is literally just WEI repackaged as a commercial product. When a site thinks you might be a bot, it throws up a QR code. You have to scan it with your phone to prove you are human. But here is the catch. To pass the check on Android, your phone must be running Google Play services.
And that is where the ecosystem control comes in. If you're a privacy-conscious user running a custom ROM like GrapheneOS or LineageOS, or if you just use a de-Googled phone, you fail the check by default. Google Play Services is closed-source, proprietary software. Google is essentially saying that if you do not run our proprietary surveillance software on your phone, you are not allowed to prove you are human.
What makes it even more frustrating is how they treat Apple devices. If you scan that same QR code with an iPhone running iOS 16.4 or later, It works perfectly fine without requiring you to install any Google apps. So they're not holding Apple users to the same standard. They're specifically punishing Android users who choose to opt out of the Google ecosystem.
The Hacker News comments really unpacked the technical and security implications of this. A user named Copsil Gold explained that this is basically remote attestation. It ties your device strictly to Google servers. Unless you are using burner phones for every service, this new reCAPTCHA has the technical capability to tie all your accounts across different websites together based on your hardware identity. It completely destroys your anonymity set.
And the irony is that it probably won't even stop the professional bot farms. An incident response professional pointed out that a bot operator can just buy a stack of $30 Android phones from Walmart that have Play services installed and use off-the-shelf hardware to point a camera at the screen to scan the QR codes. It's a fixed cost of doing business for them.
Right, so the end result is that professional scammers bypass it easily, while journalists, activists, and privacy advocates using hardened operating systems like GrapheneOS are locked out of basic websites. As Yero and HD commented, the open human internet is slowly getting locked behind proofs of attestation. It's a really dark pattern, and it's disappointing to see it deployed so quietly after the public rejected it 3 years ago.
It really is. And speaking of privacy and tracking, our next story fits perfectly into this theme. It was a link to a website called SinceYouArrived.World, with the title, A Web Page That Shows You Everything the Browser Told It Without Asking.
This was such a cool, if slightly unsettling, project. It is essentially a beautifully designed, poetic web page that reads all the standard JavaScript APIs your browser exposes and formats them into a narrative about you. It tells you your location based on your IP address, your exact operating system, your battery level, what fonts you have installed, and even the last thing you copy to your clipboard, if the browser allows it.
The creator, who goes by Matt, noted that there are no hacks or exploits being used here. Everything on the page is by design. And as he wrote, the design is the problem. He even generates a unique barcode for you based on your device fingerprint, showing how easy it is to track you without ever using a cookie.
The Hacker News crowd had a lot of fun stress testing it. A user named Card Zero pointed out that the site got their city completely wrong and that the battery percentage was off. Others mentioned that because they use Apple Private Relay or a VPN, the location data was hundreds of miles away.
True. But as another user named Kush pointed out, the amount of fingerprinting this page reveals pales in comparison to what actually happens in the wild. This site is just a transparent artistic demonstration. Commercial tracking companies like Fingerprint.com use much more sophisticated combinations of these data points to track you across the web with terrifying accuracy.
Yeah, the discussion brought up some wild historical facts too, like the battery status API. Researchers proved back in 2015 that the combination of your battery percentage and the estimated discharge time was unique enough to track you across multiple websites for up to 30 minutes. Firefox actually removed that API in 2016 because it was such a privacy risk, but Chrome and Edge still expose it to this day.
It is a great reminder to occasionally check your browser settings and maybe look into extensions that block fingerprinting, though even that is an uphill battle these days.
Absolutely. Okay, let us take a breath and wrap up today's show with something universally beloved. Yesterday was Sir David Attenborough's 100th birthday.
Happy birthday to an absolute global treasure. The BBC published a wonderful tribute detailing the celebrations, which included a massive 90-minute concert at the Royal Albert Hall hosted by Kirsty Young, featuring music from his most famous documentaries like Planet Earth and Frozen Planet.
Even the royal family chimed in. King Charles and Queen Camilla shared a photo from 1958 of a young Prince Charles and Princess Anne meeting a cockatoo that Attenborough brought them from his ZooQuest series. It really puts into perspective how long he has been educating the public about the natural world. He joined the BBC in 1952. That is over 70 years of broadcasting.
The Hacker News thread was just pure joy and nostalgia. So many people talking about how his documentaries inspired them to get into science. A user named Why Not mentioned that over 50 different taxa have been named after him, from carnivorous plants to a dinosaur.
My favorite part of the thread was the random trivia and local anecdotes. A user named CS Mastermind shared a fact I had never heard before. Apparently, David Attenborough is the reason tennis balls are yellow.
Wait, really?
Yes. Back in the day, tennis balls were white. But when Wimbledon started being broadcast on color television, it was really hard for viewers to track the white ball against the grass.
Attenborough was working as a controller at the BBC at the time, and he suggested they switch to fluorescent yellow balls so they would pop on camera. The International Tennis Federation eventually adopted it in 1972.
That is amazing. I love how his impact extends into these completely unexpected areas of culture. There was also a really sweet comment from a user named VR46 who lives near Attenborough in Richmond Hill, London. They mention a local independent bookstore called The Open Book. Apparently, Attenborough used to go in and sign copies of his books directly on the pages. But now that he is older, signing hundreds of hardbacks is too physically demanding, so the shop owner brings a stack of book plates up to his house for him to sign instead.
That is so wholesome. It is rare to see a public figure who is so universally respected across every demographic, and especially on a cynical tech forum like Hacker News. As Chris Packham said in the article, no person in the history of our species has made such a significant contribution to developing a love for life on Earth.
I could not agree more. It is the perfect story to close out the week.
That is all we have for today's episode of HN Pod. Thank you so much for tuning in and exploring these stories with us.
We will be back tomorrow with another breakdown of the top discussions from Hacker News. Until then, maybe go watch an episode of Planet Earth and have a great day.